The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. This will also serve as our sermon text this evening. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We give our attention once more to that gospel lesson. I'll read just verse 15 of that wonderful Luke account. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, there's so many words. So many beautiful words in this much-loved, well-known account from Luke chapter 2. So many words that we could focus on. So many words that deserve our attention to consider. Good news of great joy for all the people. What is this wonderful news? A Savior has been born for you, and we cannot understand that word Savior without looking to the cross, to the one who died to take our sins away, to express the very thing that we heard at the beginning of the service, and we sung again in that song that we just sang. You are forgiven. You are freed from all your sins that grieve you. And then to know that Savior who rises from the dead to give you triumph even over the greatest, that final enemy, death itself. So many words. So many words in this beautiful text that we can consider. But tonight I want to look at one particular word, just a particle, really, It's so short. You might not think much of it. In fact, if you're reading in the Greek, it's only two letters and you might glance over it. And in the English, at least the English translation we have before us, some don't even translate it, but the King James Version does. It translates it just a three-letter word, which can easily be considered or overlooked. That word now. Tonight, let's not overlook that word. Let's ponder it. Because that word, that simple word, draws attention to what is being said, and it gives greater urgency to the exhortation that is being spoken. Let's ponder it because it expresses that power of the Word of God that moved those shepherds to speak that very word, that simple word, that word now. It teaches us to see the effect that that word has, the Word of God has, on us as well. That simple word now. Now let's go. Let's go to see. Let's go to say. And let's go to serve. Look at the power of the proclamation of those angels that night. A child was born, a miraculous child born to Mary, the son of Mary, the virgin son. What a miracle that was. But this is the Son of God. What a powerful proclamation. Those angels announced that news to the shepherds. And with great joy, they were filled. But you see the reaction that they have. There was urgency in the words and the actions of the shepherds amongst each other. Now, this news of God, this word of God to them created that urgency in their hearts. Now, this kind of information can't wait till morning to act on. Now! We don't want to sleep on this news, to let this report wait a few days to be confirmed. Now! The shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now! This news, this proclamation, this message of God creates urgency. There's power in it. Look at how these shepherds were in perfect agreement as they were confronted with this news from God that their Savior was born that night. The decision was unanimous. They were united in thought and in action. The word created a unity of that thought. "Let us together now go," they said. They all said it together. They all agreed on the course of action. There was harmony in what needed to be done. Now. And it came with an instant response. They didn't think on the shepherds that they were leaving behind. There were more pressing actions to be carried out. They had to go together to see what they had been told about. Now. And how did they go? The text tells us they went with haste. They were eager to be about this activity of going. And going where? Where are you running in the middle of the night when sheep need watching? What are you doing at this time, at this hour, to go visit a mother who just gave birth of a baby who needs sleep? No, no thought of that. No hesitation. Now, let's go. There was urgency to confirm the words of the Lord. And of course, there would be urgency, wouldn't there? After all, they had just been greeted by a chorus of heavenly angels glorifying God, spurring them on to action, to response, right? But that's not what moved them. It wasn't the messengers who drove them with such urgency. It wasn't the angels that made them go. It wasn't the method of the announcement that came from God. It was the news itself, the real source of that news, not the angels. What did they say? "Let's go to see what the angels told us about"? No. "Let's go see what has happened that the Lord has made known to us." They understood that this took place because it came from God Himself. Yes, friends, regardless of the messengers that night, you have that same powerful message from God. It's a message from the Lord. whether it comes from the mouth of a powerful preacher or if it's proclaimed by a beautiful, mighty choir, a host of people announcing and proclaiming in powerful harmony this word, it is the word of the Lord. And the fact that it comes from God is what moves us. It moves us first to believe it, to say as the shepherds did, what has come to pass, what truly has happened, because it is fact, it is from the mouth of the Lord. It moves us to believe it. And it moves us to cherish it. That same powerful message you have, no matter who were the messengers who communicated it to you, that word of God from the Lord moves you to say, so now, let's go. Where has this message carried you with haste? Let's go to see. That's what this message has impelled you to do tonight, on this very day, Christmas Eve. And you do it eagerly. You do it with excitement. It's created urgency in you to come. You took the time. You made the effort. You dressed your kids in the best clothes that you have to offer them. You've gone through trouble, perhaps, maybe a little times in haste to arrive here early so that you could find a seat, so that you could find a place to park, so that you could be here in time to sing those wonderful carols that you know we joined to sing on this night, on this special night, Christmas Eve. Perhaps you thought with excitement about which favorite Christmas carol you might sing. And if you didn't sing it, you know, you can come back tomorrow and perhaps we'll sing that song still tomorrow too. But excitement, you were moved. Let's go to see. Such joy fills your heart tonight. And there's urgency in your heart to go. Christ, the Savior, is born. My Savior is born. I'm going to celebrate the one who came into this earth to take away all of my sins. For all of the troubles that I face in this life, he came to rescue me. So you said, now let's go. Let's go to see. Where else does this message carry you with urgency? Where else do you go with haste? What have you been brought to see here this night? As we see the shepherds, it wasn't just that they went to see the child with haste. But after they ran to see that child, they were eager to do something else too. Verse 17 tells us where their feet carried them next with joy and zeal. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Let's go. Let's go to see. And then they said, let's go to say. But come on, how foolish were these shepherds to think that they could educate anyone about anything? They were lowly, uneducated shepherds. What would they have to teach anyone? Why would anyone in the world listen to what they had to say? But that doesn't concern them. Doesn't even give them pause for a moment. That's the effect of the Word of God in the heart. It produces that joyful faith that must be shared, that must be spread abroad, that must be said. The same is true with us. How foolish the world might view us, taking time out of our day on a holiday when we don't have to work, when we have time to rest, to come here to God's house as if it has something to share with us. The world might view us as foolish to think that we have something important to share with them. What could that church, what could that person possibly have to offer to me that would interest me? And we might hesitate for a moment in the same way. Me? Who would listen to me? I'll leave that to the experts to tell. I'll let the pastor share that news. He's trained in it after all. I'm not trained in the word or in the communication of it. But such thoughts only give us pause for a moment. Because we know better. We know, just like those shepherds, we need not be embarrassed that we don't have a degree in gospel preaching. We don't be embarrassed. We don't need to be embarrassed that we don't have a Harvard graduation certificate or we're experts in a field. We're moved. So we say, now let's go. Let's go to say what we have seen and what we have heard. We're moved by the very gospel that has filled our own hearts with such joy that we must react as the shepherds do to share this news with others. That Savior born for me is the Savior born for the world. That Savior born for the world, it needs to be told to them too. So let's go now to say. Yes, of course, we may be fools in the eyes of the world. Who do they think they are that they have something to share? Yes, of course, we're fools. Fools to the world, but that doesn't matter because we do. We do have something to share. We have the news of salvation, the only thing that matters in this life, regardless of how they'll respond to that news. We must. We are compelled to share it as those prophets did. Let's go now to say. And we don't worry for a moment about that reception that we might actually get, that perhaps the shepherds got too, because God takes care of that. Look at how powerful this word, this news, is in your own heart. Look at how it changed you. To be able to say, let's go to see my Savior, and let's go to speak of my Savior too. This message of foolishness, as the Apostle Paul calls it, it's taken root and had effect in your own heart, in your own life. That powerful word is evidence in your own life that it will have powerful effect on those who hear it as well, that you go to say it to. God will accomplish what he desires. So we don't worry about that. We cannot help but simply go and say, to simply go and share this good news. Now we have seen, now we have been compelled to go and say, is there anything else in urgency that those shepherds did? Well, yes, there's more. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Where else were these shepherds moved to go? Why, the gospel in their heart moved them to go right back to their sheep. It brought them back to their fields and their flocks. The gospel message didn't change their callings, their vocation in life. It didn't change their responsibilities in this world. They remained shepherds, and they got busy at the work which God had placed in their laps to do. Yes, they were changed, but their work did not change. Now they did that same work full of joy. They cared for those sheep gratefully as they were giving thanks to the God who had rescued them from their sins and had granted them all salvation. Even as they gave that praise and glory to God in carrying out their mundane, their ordinary, their plain, some might even say boring tasks. So they returned, and they were eager to do it. Yes, this news moves us also to diligently go to our ordinary, daily tasks. Perhaps some of you have the fortune of being given a break, a holiday, a vacation on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and so you paused from those daily tasks. But perhaps if that's the case on Tuesday, you'll have to return to that office. Perhaps you'll have to hit the road again to deliver those products or to repair that equipment or to transport those people where they need to go. Or you'll have to go back to the line to continue to produce the very things that are helping people. And you look at that as a boring and mundane thing. And how could that serve to glorify and praise God in your life? But it does. because that's the work that God has placed into your life. Or perhaps you're a person who hasn't been given that day off of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and so you've been working right along. As I think about the parents who have children sitting next to them today, your work hasn't stopped no matter what day it is. And you might look at that work as boring and mundane, to care for these children who rarely say thanks. And children, to live and love and be obedient to your parents. But you're busy and quick to go to that work with eagerness. Let's go now to serve. Yes, this message has changed you, given you urgency to sing that song of praise to God who came to save us, to do it with our lives, with our service to our neighbor, recognizing that all of it is a praise to God. So many words to adore tonight. So much to love and to cherish in this blessed gospel Christmas message of Luke chapter 2. It's like a flood of memories to your mind of Christmases past, when perhaps you were the angel to announce the good tidings of great joy, or when you were the shepherd to go out and to share that news with others, or the many times when you were like Mary to ponder this mystery of the Christmas message, this miracle. What a message God gives to us in this account. So many words to cherish, so much to be explored and to be appreciated, to consider again and again. Tonight, this night, let's consider that simple word, now. God's word could not wait till morning for those shepherds. It created a unity of thought in course and action, and their urgency in the response was there. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now, to see and to say and to serve. Friends, let God's word move you that way tonight too. You have come to see. Now let's go, now. Go to sing of these wonderful words. Go to confess that blessed truth as we join in confession of faith. Go to offer your gifts to the work of the proclamation of this news, to support the work of the church. But it doesn't stop when you just say, no, let's go now. Let's go now to serve, too. Let God's word move you this night to go to your homes, to go to your lives, to go to your families and to serve God in them, to praise and glorify God in every act that you do, in every deed, in every task accomplished. Let God's word move you this night to return to your work, to be diligent in that work, whatever it is that the Lord has called you to serve faithfully in the place in which He has put you. Let's go now, united. Let's go now with urgency to see and to say and to serve. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.